Psalm number 64, gentlemen, this morning in the Sunday school hour. Psalm number 64, okay? I got just a little old Sunday school thoughts about all it is. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm sorry. Will you get out of my office in there in that drawer? And we need to record this, and I was so excited in there this morning talking about that $800 a month. Being Christmas and everything, excited about being in the house of God this morning. I forgot to get wired up. Amen. I hope you'll get wired up. Son, I'd like to see it get wild as a guinea around here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Get ready for the radio marathon and the big meeting we're going to have in January. And the men's already making plans to take days off from work so they can be here during those days. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm excited about it and what God might do. Actually, it's raised about $100,000 with you. A pledge on the marathon, that'd be good. If they can get that pledge to it. All right, Psalm number 64. We'll try to get hooked up here in just a minute. Bear with me. Got everything on. Psalm 64 this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. They may shoot in secret at the perfect, suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I'm thankful this morning for how You've conveyed this thought to my heart and revealed this truth to me. I pray that You'll bless me now that I might be a blessing to our Sunday school class, that You'll open up Thy Word and reveal great and glorious things to us this morning. May our hearts rejoice in Thee and our souls be blessed. I pray that our Savior will be honored and glorified, and truly our spirits this morning will be fed on manna from above, and we'll thank You and we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thought about preaching or teaching our Sunday school class this morning out of verse number 5, where these workers of iniquity said, "Who shall see them?" And I thought about, and I may yet, maybe next Sunday, I'm not sure, but bring a thought on the omniscience of God and the omnipresence of God. These people that commit sin and believe it to be done in the dark forget that God is an omniscient God and an omnipresent God. But I want to take our thinking this morning out of verses number 1 and verse number 2, where David mentioned there about his life being preserved and about hiding in a secret or being hid from the secret counsel of the wicked. And I want to draw our thinking for a little while on the thought hidden behind the veil. Hidden behind the veil. Now, if you notice the title, it simply says, and it is to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. It does not give a particular time in David's life that we can refer to make mention of when this particular psalm was written. But by the internal evidence of the psalm, it does point out that it was written during the time of great conflict in the life of David. And gentlemen, I hope I don't sound like a broken record, but through the book of Psalms, I find David more in conflict than I do at ease in Zion or resting upon his lees. And I said that to say this, if we are truly a child of God, we are in a present and a permanent conflict with our enemies. We are constantly engaged with society, which is the world, with our own selves, which is the war against the flesh. The spirit warreth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. And we are in a constant battle with old Slewfoot, the devil. And if you've got an idea that every one of the three will ever relinquish any ground and just give up the fight, then friend, you're quite naive, and you don't have a real understanding of the spiritual warfare that we're in. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. And we're in that constantly, gentlemen. They are always opposing us, trying to overcome us, trying to defeat us, and trying to get us into a place where our life is ineffective in the service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if you roll over like a possum and play dead, you'll wind up there. You really will. I tell you what we need to do is put on all the armor of God that we might be able to withstand in the evil day. And as David, and as Paul said, rather, and having done all to stand, we ought to stand there, friend. Having our loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all supplication for the saints of God. And without that, we will surely be overcome, and our life will be ineffective to the glory of God. So we're in a battle. You're not going to gain any ground without realizing that. No spiritual depth, no spiritual maturity, no spiritual growth. These three enemies in our life must be overcome if we're going to have spiritual growth and development in our life. It just got to be. Now, notice what David says there about these enemies, and I may touch on them in just a minute. He said in verse 1, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Now, the life that is referred to here by David is not intended, gentlemen, to mean the function of his physical heart or that of his lungs that breathe. He is not referring to that physical life as you and I know it as far as living and dying. But he's speaking about that crucified life that we presently live in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live. That's the life that David is referring to, the life which we now live, that life that can be slandered, that life that can be opposed by our enemy, by shooting their sharp arrows, and by slandering our character and our good deeds that we do in Christ. I'm telling you, the enemy would love to destroy the life that we presently live, gentlemen, to the glory and honor of God. If he can tarnish our testimony, amen to God. That's right. If he can tarnish our character, if he can prove us to be dishonest, if he can prove us, gentlemen, to be actually corrupt in our nature, then the devil has won a great victory, amen, against the forces of the Lord God upon this earth. And so he's talking about that present life that we live. Preserve me in my present life. Keep my testimony right. Keep my spirit right. Keep my attitude right. That is right. Amen. He's talking about that abundant life that God come to preserve me in that abundant life. Gentlemen, I need not to say that abundant life is one of joy and great blessing for the people of God. Amen. Preserve the abundant life, that present life that I'm now living. Keep the spring in my step, the joy in my heart, the sing in my soul, the worship in the house of God. Amen. That's right. Keep me right in this present life that I'm living for the glory of God. He's talking about that life that can be shattered by our enemies and depriving us of the richest blessings of Christ in our life. Keep me on the throne. Keep me at the throne of mercy. Amen. Keep me in the book, Lord. Keep me in worship. Keep me in the house of God. Keep my attitude, my heart right. Preserve. I'm setting some groundwork. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. David wasn't worried about dying. That's not the life he was worried about. All men die, gentlemen. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But I'm telling you, when Brother Hall wants his life to be right before men, and the only way it can stay that way is if God will preserve me in the way that I go for Him. That's right. I'm telling it right. Amen. And then he said, in verse number 2, hide me from the secret counsel of the hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. Now, where would we be hid from them? Where could our life be hidden, this life, from the secret counsel of the wicked? Well, I'm going to tell you what old Brother Paul said in Colossians 3:3. He said, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." I thank God for that, gentlemen, that there is a hiding place. That not only can I find refuge for my soul, but I can find shelter for the life that I presently live for the honor and the glory of God. Buddy, I'll tell you, the songwriter was right when they wrote, "My soul has found a resting place, not in device or not in decree, but it is in the Lord God Almighty." Now notice this, "For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." There is no greater, gentlemen, protection than being in God. Hallelujah. Son, you talk about eternal salvation. You're talking about security for the believer when our present life, our future life, are both alike, hid with Christ in God. What protection we have from the enemies that would slander us and the arrows that they would shoot, amen, at the upright in heart, that they might wound our character, oh yes, and deprive us of the blessings of God in this life. And then, hey, we're hid there. We're hid with Christ there. Woo! That's what I want to say right there. Woo! When I was a little boy, and I know the rest of you rascals have done the same thing, we used to play hide and seek. Huh? And some of us would hide, and the others would look for us. Ain't that right? We are hid with Christ in God. Now these, the enemies, our enemies are seeking us. But oh, we have found a hiding place that is beyond the eyesight of the wicked and the ungodly. It can only be viewed and found by the eye of faith. And since they have no faith, they are unable to find where you and I are hiding with Christ in God. Now go ahead and say what I started to say. Oh, when I was a young man, when I started getting up in a few years, I playing hide and go seek. I always liked to hide with some little old opposite sex thing. You know what I'm saying? Huh? But I'm glad, spiritually speaking, that I'm hid with Christ. What joy unspeakable, gentlemen, and full of glory, if we could ever get a hold of that, hey, we had quit worrying so much about what's going on the outside, quit worrying about our enemies and those that oppose us, and those that would shoot slanderous words with their tongues at us, criticize us and accuse us, we had just quit worrying about that crowd and enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus in our life. We are in a place, my friend, where they cannot enter, even in this life. Therefore, let us enjoy the protection God has given us or provided for us in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're hidden in verse number 3 from slandering tongues. In this life, I want to say that a slandering tongue has always been the master weapon that the evil men will use against a godly man. That's all the arsenal he has, gentlemen, is a forked tongue and a stinking lying tongue. It has always been that way. You can go back through history. Look back at a man by the name of Mordecai. And by the way, the Bible said there that they shoot at them in secret. They shoot in secret at the perfect. And they shoot suddenly at the perfect. Now I thought about old Mordecai and how how Haman slandered the character of Mordecai before the king, which is a type of God Almighty. But hey, look here. Son, he just kept running his tongue and running his tongue. And Haman wound up on the same gallows that he secretly planned to hang Mordecai on. Hallelujah to God. I thought about the presidents and the princes in Daniel chapter number 6 that lied about Daniel. They went to the king and told the king that all the presidents and the princes had in fact signed a decree that any man that made a petition to any god save the king for 30 days should be thrown into the den of lions. But they lied, because Daniel never signed that decree. That is right. And they did it in secret because they knew the only thing that they could get to Daniel about was against his God. They couldn't find a flaw in his character, but they did get to him about his God. Amen. Hidden from the slandering tongue, hidden from the secret and sudden attacks, and hidden from the snares that they set. They're a bunch of cowards. They will not fight in open ground. They want to hide in their little ambushes. They're a bunch of stinking cowards. I want to say, my friend, that the worldly who do not possess the Spirit of God are a bunch of cowards that can only war against you and I from their places of ambush and their places of hiding. They are afraid to come out on spiritual ground in open field and do combat against the righteous, because Christ stands with us and they know that they're doomed for fall. I know that's right. They'll get out and make their little remarks out away from you. They'll get in little secret corners and make their little remarks about you and tell lies about you. Amen to God. Get with somebody that they know will agree with them and eat you alive. And I'm going to tell you something. Preachers are the worst of the lot, son. Oh, yes, sir, buddy. They're the worst of the lot. And by the way, they don't mind to lie about it. They don't mind to slander you to one person and then to your face. Why, they'll just be as sweet as sugar pie. I'm telling it right. Amen to God. Bunch of stinking cowards. Huh? That's right. I've challenged some of them to sit down with Brother Hall and I ain't got a taker yet. Huh? I'm just going to tell you something. The next time I hear that one of them's called me a hyper-Calvinist, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to contact them, and I'm going to ask them, what is a hyper-Calvinist? They don't even know. I want them to identify what I am, then I'll tell them whether I'm that or not. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. They'll shoot their little arrows at you, too. You better believe I'm right. I know I'm right. They're cowards. They cannot accept fair combat. They shun the open field, lying in ambush for those, hey, look here, who are not acquainted with deceit and dishonesty. Their warfare is with deceit and dishonesty. And gentlemen, God's children do not walk in deceit and dishonesty, but they walk upright within their integrity and know nothing about that kind of warfare. No, sir. I read in the paper yesterday where Russia invaded, is it Groznia, whatever the capital of Chechnya is, that breakaway province, as they called it. And, buddy, Russia went in there with the big tanks and the big guns, and some they was going to do damage. But they met a force they wasn't expecting. They got down into the streets in that city, and those rebels sealed off the streets where they couldn't get back out, and their tanks couldn't climb across the top of the building, and they got their hides burned in there, gentlemen. Amen to God. They got their hides burned in there because they tried to invade a place, and those Chechnyans waited in ambush for them. But I've got news for the devil's crowd. He has preserved our lives, gentlemen. And we have found a hiding place behind the veil, amen to God, where he cannot penetrate and get to. We have found a safe haven of rest in the mercies of Christ, behind the veil, in the tabernacle, in the presence of God, far away from ambush or deceit or dishonesty, because the upright, our Lord Jesus, stands prepared to do battle and to preserve us in all manner and walk of life. That's right. Now, I want to say the place of this hiding. Now, I'm about ready to get on a little positive note here. I want to turn this thing to the positive side. The place of our hiding. This same David said in Psalm 27 and verse 5, he said, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me." I got to looking up, there's two words there, two different places that David says that Christ will hide us. One in his pavilion, and the other one in his tabernacle. And I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I can look up a little Hebrew words. That word pavilion simply means a hut. It means a hut entwined with those. And the word pavilion, the word tabernacle, means an object, or it means to be clearly seen from a distance. So I have found a hiding place that can be clearly seen from a distance, but it is only a hut made up of twined boughs. Gentlemen, that can only refer to one object in the Word of God. David must have had in mind that tabernacle in the wilderness. Amen. That was clearly seen from a distance, being made of fine twined linen. It was not a permanent structure. Therefore, it is considered a hut, just like the tabernacle of this house in 2 Corinthians 5. Talking about our body, it is only a hut, a temporary thing, a temporary dwelling. But inside that tabernacle, amen to God, I'm so thankful that we, my friend, have found a hiding place where we can be preserved from the enemy. Oh, they can clearly see it afar off, but they cannot gain entrance into. For, hey, it can only be entered by faith, and all men have not faith, Therefore, my friend, to the unbeliever and the infidel cannot penetrate the door of the tabernacle, and we have found a place that Christ can preserve our life in Him behind that tabernacle. Blessed be His wonderful name. I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, gentlemen, that no reprobate dare cross the threshold of the door. Amen. His unbelief prevents it. I'm safe. Oh, not in that earthly tabernacle made with hands, but my life is preserved yonder in that heavenly tabernacle, in a place made without hands, that place that is reserved in the heavens for you and I. And no unbelieving infidel or reprobate, no matter how sharp his tongue is, has the power nor the ability to penetrate the door of that glorious place we call the tabernacle. Oh, I'm safe there. Fellas, that's just a simple way of saying we're safe in Jesus. Our life, this life that we presently live, is preserved in Jesus. David said, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Hide me from the counsel of the wicked." I'm glad, thank God, that we have found a hiding place. No reprobate dare not cross the threshold of the door that leads to the outer court. His unbelief prevents him. I want to say that the light of the candlestick is also there. Somebody said, "Why, you may..." Oh, yes, gentlemen. We have got protection in the light. Our Lord is the light, and as long as we walk in that light, we are invincible. We are immortal in the eyes of God as long as we're walking in that light and walking in the perfect will of God. Somebody said, "Oh, you mean the ungodly can't get there?" Oh, no. I've got Scripture for it. That's right. No unbeliever will ever approach that light. Jesus said in John 3:20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, but his deeds should be made manifest." Oh, I'm so glad, thank God, that as long, my friend, as I'm in the light of the candlestick in the tabernacle, that no unbeliever can approach unto me there, for his slanderous tongue and his ungodly heart and his wicked deeds shall be made manifest by the light that shines out of darkness and lighteth every man's soul that cometh into this world. That's right. They're not going to do that. I talked to my oldest brother Wednesday up seeing my daddy. And he said, the Lord, and I believe he's saved. He said, "The Lord has taken me down to nothing." He said, "I barely can live. My money I just stretch it from dollar to dollar and penny to penny. My old car," said, "it just chugs and jerks along." And said, I'm about to the end of my rope. And I said, "Donnie, do you know what might be the problem?" He said, "I believe I do." He said, "You remember when I left Bible Baptist Church and went down to that little Methodist church and started teaching in that Sunday school class? And started teaching that Methodist church and sat down and had communion with a Methodist bishop? And they ordained me as a Methodist preacher?" Now, he didn't say all that, but I'm just telling you what he done. I said, "I remember that." He said, "Sometimes I wonder if I'd have stayed at Bible Baptist Church." He said, "I wanted to do something for God. I wanted to teach the Bible." And he said, "I know I could never preach." He said, "My wife and my family, the way I could never do that." But he said, "Oh, I wanted to do something for God. And I felt like that was my opportunity to do something for the Lord." But he said, "I'm going to tell you, ever since I allowed that in my life," he said, "there's been problem after problem after problem." And he said, "My life is absolutely in a shambles now, and I can't even go to the house of God when I want to go to the house of God." Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying he got away from the light Gentlemen, if we walk in that light as Christ is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us from all ungodliness and unrighteousness, and the wicked and the ungodly cannot approach that light because God will reprove their deeds that they are evil. That's right. I've had a lot of them blow up at me. I've had a lot of them blow up at me and try to prove Brother Hall, I don't know what the word I could describe it, but they tried every way they could, my friend, to prove that I was a scoundrel and sorry and ungodly and wicked. But every time they made their little effort, the light that I had found safety in shined upon them and manifest their the wicked counsels of their heart that they had shot at the ungodly from an ambush out of a deceitful and a dishonest heart. And God proved that they were nothing but religious infidels that's dying and going to hell without God and without hope. And I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that that light, in that light, God will preserve the very life that we now live in the flesh.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Let them talk. I had one fellow went out here and run his mouth. Said I'd beat the federal government out of income taxes. And that they'd be here any day. To run an inventory on me or an audit, whatever you call it. And I filed my taxes that year and put on there and I owed $360-some. And I sent the money in with the tax papers and the IRS sent my money back plus $1,200-some and said the man made a mistake. I had a $1,200-some refund. Are you listening to me? Ain't God good, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Look here. I had one fella to go out of here, and he run up yonder to the city hall and cried to the city, said I wasn't paying city tax. I didn't even know I had to pay a city tax. And so I started filing paying the city tax. I thought, boy, I'm in trouble now. I'm going to have to pay all the tax of the city. That has been 9 years ago, and in the 9 years, I've paid a total sum of $35 to the city. Woo! In the light, gentlemen, and I'm going to tell you what that light is proof, that both of those men I'm referring to are no more than religious infidels, amen, that shoot at the upright suddenly and in secret, to do their best to defile the character and the integrity of the upright, that our work for God might be hindered and the blessings of God not be deprived from our life. That light, hey, we're in that light, gentlemen. We found a hiding place in that light. He'll preserve us there. Don't you worry about that. I know that's right. And then thirdly, we also find in that tabernacle, our hiding place, we find the table with its showbread. Now I want to ask you something. Are you nibbling on the showbread? Hey, as long as you're around the table of showbread, gentlemen, you've got good protection. You've got a hiding place. Let them shoot. Amen. Let them shoot out their slanderous tongue. Let them talk. Look here. Their words will fall to the ground in vanity. They'll fall to the ground in vanity. We have found that hiding place around the table of showbread. Oh, yes. And the Lord will preserve our life there. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? Just hang right with me. If you were reading the book of Leviticus, chapter number 24... that table of showbread, gentlemen, the Bible said that to start with was a holy table that was reserved for the priest to eat of only.
Amen.
So Somebody said, I'm not a priest. Well, I invite you this morning to get born again by the grace of God. For we that are saved are priests and kings and priests unto God our Father. The showbread is holy bread, reserved only for the priest. Secondly, it is on holy ground. Go read it. And no unhallowed feet shall ever tread upon the holy ground around the table that God has reserved to feed His children at. That's right, my friend. Hey, I've got the right to feed strangers at my table, at my house, if I want to. Or I've also got the right to kick their hind end out the door if I want to. God allows no strangers, period, at His table. In fact, they cannot tread upon that ground because like it was on the mount when Moses saw that bush that burned, it is holy ground and their unhallowed and unsanctified feet cannot tread upon the holy ground that God has reserved for you and I. Yeah. Let them run their stinking mouth. Bunch of devils. They can't get on that ground. We're safe there, fellas. So what I say, just hang around the light. And get in the door. Hang around the light. Quit fooling around outside at the altar, the brazen altar, and the laver. Get inside the door and carry around the candlestick and around that table of showbread. Amen to God. I want to say, fourthly, we also find the veil there. Ooh. I'm about ready to play Now You See Me and Now You Don't. The veil is there. Oh, yeah. Again, reserved only for the priest to enter behind. And by the way, gentlemen, she's made out of fine, fine linen. Hide me in the pavilion, God. Hide me, O Lord, in your tabernacle, in that hut of fine twined linen, clearly seen from the outside, but forbidden by for the ungodly on the inside. Hide me there. Huh? I want to say behind that veil is the brightness of His glory. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:16, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, listen now, which no man can approach unto. What glory. Son, you think an unbeliever can get back into that? They can't handle the glory. No, sir. I've seen it get on in here. And the glory settle in this place. Now I've watched that same crowd that I'm preaching about cringe at the presence of God. I've seen them draw back from the glory. They're like the children of Israel when Moses come off the mount. They can't look on the brightness of the glory of Christ behind the veil. They're afraid of it. They don't like it. They don't enjoy it. I'm going to tell you I like it. Hallelujah to God. Can't get too thick and too soupy for me. I like it, bless your heart. When the glory settles down and the people of God get stirred in their heart over the glory of Christ. We was in here and it was on one Sunday morning. I'm talking about it was on. You can believe this or you don't have to believe it. I don't give a flip one way or the other. But I was standing right here shouting it out and I looked. And that flag standing right there waved like a breeze blew by. I mentioned it that Sunday morning. Lisa was sitting over and I mentioned, she said, Daddy, I saw it too. Just said right out loud, there wasn't a soul around that flag. I like the glory, friend. I never forget that night in school at Tabernacle. We went in that little room up that hallway toward the auditorium and son, I opened that door and there must have been 150 young men on their faces in that room and there's a cloud hanging in that place, son. Amen to God. I thought for a minute they had transplanted that mountain, Clingman's Dome, out of the Smokies into that room. Son, I was up high. Oh, yeah, it got up high in the clouds and in the glory. I'm going to say there wasn't an unbelieving infidel in the world that could have tolerated what was going on in that room that night. They'd have backed out of it and said, they're in the flesh. There ain't nothing to that. That's just not real. Why, that's just a bunch of baloney. That's not real. They're just in the flesh and just carrying on. I'm going to tell you something, friend. That old eye faith can see things. God lets us peep over and look into some things every now and then, friend, that an unbeliever can't see. That's why I want the glory in this place. I'm going to tell you, the glory will keep the wolves out the back door. The power and the presence of Christ will keep the wolves off of our back door. Keep this place a holy, sanctified, dedicated place for God. Ain't that right? I like it like that. Blessed be unto God. Huh? Thank you. Praise His wonderful name. I feel like running through a wall right now. I like it. I like it. It got so thick in 2 Chronicles when Solomon prayed the dedicatory prayer that even the priest couldn't get in the place. But I'll guarantee you they knew what it was. They didn't go so far away they couldn't peep around and take a look at it every now and then. Somebody had to see it. Solomon wrote it down in the book. Somebody said, oh, that was the Old Testament. I've got news for you, friend, that you never read where the glory, if the glory of the law, of the letter, was that glorious, how much more glorious is the dispensation of the Spirit of God? If God let that kind of glory, my friend, in the dispensation of the letter, that was a letter of condemnation, how much more glory ought to be in the house of God? From the glorious dispensation of the Holy Ghost that we're living in. They can't, believers can't handle that. They can't get in on it. They can't handle it. They don't like it. I'll never forget that day that I walked by that door back there. Son, during a radio marathon. I heard something. I heard something in there mumbling. I said, what is going on in my office? I just cracked the door like that, and Brother Thompson and Brother Messick was on their knees over there in the corner praying. And son, it was thick enough in there, it was like pea soup. That's right. I'll never forget as long as I live. I'll never forget the words that I said in my heart. I said, I'm going to close the door. God's in that place. And I went to pull the door shut, and the Holy Ghost said, son, said, open her up. I'm big enough to fill the whole building. And He did. I said, and He did. When I come to myself, I was right here spinning around on one leg. I'm awaiting that God lets me do it with Parkinson's disease. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Get a quivering and a shaking and the Holy Ghost said, oh, man, stop telling what I might do for God. I like it.
I never get one of Brother Doug's children come up that aisle. She just turned around and headed that way and she started hollering, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. She said, Daddy's drunk on God.
I'll never forget that marathon day. We was in there, me and old Brother Doug got the giggles like a cockroach on our backs in there and couldn't get up. Somebody said, oh, that was in the flesh. I don't know. Hey, I'll assure you my flesh was responding. It couldn't move. Only under the power of the Spirit. There's three or four men come in there. I'll never forget it. They come in there. Brother Smith come in there and he sat down on one of them chairs and just sitting there. Me and Brother Doug, I mean, it was just wild. Brother, all at once, Brother Wayne just rolled off on his face, son, and fell right into the holy gear that we was in. Went to giggling, laughing, just carrying on like a torn down fool. Huh? And by the way, we lost support out of that from some people in Evansville for a long time over it. Huh? Well, I tell you, most people, hey, Most saved people don't like the glory, much less a reprobate. They just can't handle it, Philip. We have found a protective place preserved in the presence of the tabernacle from those that would shoot sharp arrows at our character.
Hallelujah to God. Oh, yeah. I don't know how long them women's going to be back there. Can I say you tell you something else that's back there, fellas, where we're at? The blood of the everlasting covenant is on the ark of that mercy seat.
They ain't a two-legged devil on the earth that can tolerate the blood, son. If you ever want to put that bunch of devils on the run, just plead the blood. Oh, they can take the water. Oh, yeah, they take plead the blood.
Turn me off a minute, Brother Doug. That those who do not will be fouled up everywhere. Huh? I won't say not only is the book of the covenant there, the blood of the covenant, but the book of God in that hiding place. My friend, I have found so many times a hiding place in that Bible. He has preserved my life from the secret counsels of the wicked. So many times when their tongues would shoot sharp arrows at my soul. So many times when out of a secret place, or suddenly they'd shoot it, oh, Brother Hall. I've ran to the Word of God. Buried my soul in the depths of the book. Found grace from God. Amen. And protection from the promises of that blessed Bible that I'm holding today. Thank God for the KJV 1611 Bible. Sat down there in a restaurant last night and got a little bite to eat. And sitting in there and at the Imperial Garden, a woman come in and she wasn't dressed right. But she had on a sweater, had on the back of it, "I am the vine, ye are the branches," and had KJV. I said, "Well, hallelujah to God." Wonder where she got that. Turned around, she had Olive Branch Baptist Church. I thought, well now. And it had in the middle of it, branching out for Jesus. I thought the sayings are pretty good. They got the King James Bible anyhow. Thank God for that book, gentlemen. I'm telling you all, the devils of hell cannot tolerate the Bible. Three times old Slewfoot himself. Come to our Lord. If thou be, if thou be, if thou be. And three straight times our Lord said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." I'm here to tell you, my friend, we have found preservation for our life in the promises of the Book of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to say something else. Behind that veil is our blessed hope. You see, that's behind that veil and in that ark is also Aaron's rod that budded. A type of spiritual resurrection. Our blessed hope, gentlemen, is in that ark. Huh? Thanks. Oh, Aaron's is the only one that had some little green buds on the next morning, boys. The rest of that crowd was still just old dried up sticks. That crowd that shoots at you with their sharp arrows to defile your righteous soul are nothing but dead sticks. And I'm telling you, if you have been saved, it's not a matter of not me, it is if you are saved, you do dwell behind the veil.
Amen.
This life is preserved back there. Amen to God, and I'm just waiting on the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus. David said, "Oh God, hear the voice of my prayer. Preserve me, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide my soul from the counsel of the wicked." Where are you going to hide it out? I'm going to say, let the heathen rage, man. Let's come to church and have a time. Let's come and worship God. Throw glasses of water back in the baptistry. Shout. Let's order to get these pews in here nailed down. Bless God so I can run them a little bit. Amen to God. Have a time. Oh, yeah. Worship. And don't worry about that mess. Some, when they criticize you for your holy stand and your righteous stand that you've taken, let the heathen rage and the people imagine of anything. Let it roar. Your life, gentlemen, this present life that we live in the flesh, has found preservation in the veil of God. That tabernacle. Clearly seen, and they know it. You hear my word, you hear this word, that crowd out there knows that we're right. They have to know it. God has rebuked them time and time again sharply. They have to know it.
Amen.
Fella visited in here with us on Tuesday night. I like to faint it. Preacher. Come back and brought us some new songbooks. Got Miss Hollis. Red songbook, boy, like the red ones out there. Brought us some soul-stirring songbooks. And we took up some of the old ones, put them new ones out. Got Miss Hall one up there. It's in an open cover. He told me when he left Tuesday night, he said, "I'll guarantee you, when the brethren find out I've been here," he said, "it'll be wrathful on me." He said, "they'll just have to say whatever they want to say." He said, "I believe God sent me." I said, "I'd like you to come over and help on the marathon." He said, "I'll be here," but he said, "they may take some pop shots at me." He'll be all right.
Yeah,
amen. He can handle it behind the veil, gentlemen. I have gotten over public opinion a long time ago. I don't give a ragtag flip what that crap says about me. I'm going to worship God under old-time Holy Ghost religion and live a righteous life for Him. Hallelujah! Well, you aren't to preach so loud. You aren't to preach so long. You aren't to shout. Well, I think that crowd, I ain't worrying about them. Now, there was a time when I did. And I'd get in there on the radio and just jump right back at them and carry on. But I'm going to say I've just about gotten over that. Now, if I'm preaching the Bible and the truth of it comes out, I'm going to preach it. But I'm not going to intentionally just get in there and rail on you. It don't pay. Don't do nothing but hurt you. And I'm going to tell you something. That is the only way they can hurt you. That is the only way they can hurt you is by retaliation against them. That's all. Let's just stand fast. Worship God. There's one other thing I forgot was behind there. So just now the Holy Ghost brought it to my mind. That golden pot of manna's back there too, boy. Taste of the Lord and see how good He is. I guarantee you pork and beans will never be good anymore once you get a hold of that sweet manna. That doctor down there told me, he said, "Now, you know you're going to have to change your diet." I said, "Now, I don't know about that, Doc." He said, "Meats that's high in protein ain't no good for you." He said, it'll work on you. Don't eat it. I said, "Well, if I can't eat that meat and stuff, I like it with steak and stuff. I like it real well." I said, "What can I eat?" He said, "Eat sweets." I said, "Be no problem." I said, "I really enjoy manna." Don, I like to witness to them. They look at you like you're a fool. We were down at J.C. Penney's yesterday, and little old girl's waiting on Miss Hall. And she took her, got the receipt. She took her receipt and she looked over at Miss Hall and said, "I'm going to put this in your sack." She dropped it down there and I stood there a minute and I said, "Young lady, I said, that's the same thing a man told me one day." She said, "Pardon me, sir." I said, "A man told me one day he was going to put some treasures in my sack." She said, "I guess so." I had fun.
Glory, Brother Jay! He has put treasures in the sack too, glory to God.
She had no early idea what I was talking about. I just smiled at her and went over. I said, "Ain't Jesus good?" And I'm going to tell you, I dropped a load right there on that 20-year-old girl. I guarantee you on that, dropped a load in her bosom. More than she can handle. Fellas, you don't have to be obnoxious to witness to people. You can just be wait for your opportunity, and you can just slip in a little punchline here and a little punchline there and sow that seed here and sow it there. Somebody said, "Well, what if it don't do nothing? Let God give the increase." If you ever see them again, throw a little bucket of water on it. One of these days you might see a little twig come jumping up, a little corn or something like that come shooting up out of the ground. Hallelujah to God.